I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and this is the NASB. And you just heard this, but you'll hear it from a different perspective. Now, the birth of the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Gene and Paul had a plan. Not a short-sighted one, not one that they did in the spur of the moment like we do so many things. This was a plan. Many years ago, they had met with a financial advisor that helped them create a budget. If they were careful and didn't drink at Starbucks too much and didn't go on vacation for several years, didn't buy anything they didn't need, redirecting all of the money that they usually spent on extras to make double payments on their home and cars, they could be debt-free in 7 years. Once they achieved this goal, the couple planned to retire, to sell their home, and buy something much smaller and closer to their grandchildren. The dream was to be those super involved grandparents who attend all the ball games and go to the musical performances and do everything else that the kids keep them busy doing. Grandparents, do you do that stuff? There's some of you guys, that's goals right there. So for 6 years of this 7-year plan, Gene and Paul were dedicated. Once in a while, they had a good coffee, but only on special occasions. When they reached that final year of their long-term plan, the couple decided it was time to put their house on the market and start paring down their belongings. Jean's company began looking for the right candidate to work alongside of her so that she could train her over the course of several months. Now, Paul, who worked for a much larger company, had already given his final date to his employer. Of an evening, the couple spent their time packing, donating, and browsing ads for a cottage several states away. Because the move would be so far, Gene and Paul set up a vacation of sorts to go and look at the cottage that they wanted to buy. Everything was on schedule. In a few months, they would move all this way, and they couldn't wait. There had been some difficult times over the 6 years. But every bridge they got to, they crossed together. And they knew that once they were there and had the grandkids over for the first sleepover, it would all be worth it. Everything was going well. They had a contract on their house. They had a cottage lined up to buy. Everything was squared away. But remember, Jean was mentoring a new employee who was named Elizabeth that would take over in her role. Well, Elizabeth's husband was injured. The surgery he needed went well, but his recovery was going to be very long, and Elizabeth would need to take him to therapy every day when he recovered. Had this delay been something that would take a few weeks, Gene and Paul probably could have extended the contract on their house and continued with their plans. But Elizabeth's husband was not predicted to be out of this therapy in a few weeks' time. It was expected to take many months, during which he would be in therapy every single day. Jean listened to Elizabeth, and she understood the problem, but she still wrestled with her own emotions. She was so disappointed. As she drove home at night and lay awake at night, her mind raced through all the different scenarios. The cottage they loved so much would be gone, and the buyer would not wait for their house, so their sale would fall through. She had already gotten rid of so many things because she assumed they wouldn't need it for no longer than they would be there. Now everything felt half done. Jean was also wrestling with her emotions because she wondered, maybe the company should just let Elizabeth go. I mean, no one could blame them. wouldn't even look wrong on paper. It would be awfully convenient. But if they did, she could train someone else before time for her to move. After all, Jean and Paul had waited patiently. They'd lived carefully for 6 years and had been faithful to the plan. They hadn't done anything out of step. So why should they have to change their plans? Except Jean knew that Elizabeth was already overwhelmed. And if she lost her job right now, that would just be one more thing. So what to do? How to feel? This was not the plan. Jean and Paul would not be able to answer their question in a night or a week. But ultimately, they did know that their plans were less important than their commitment to be compassionate. After all, they wanted to move closer to their grandchildren, and what kind of children did they want them to grow up to be? And so they chose to change their plans and wait for God to reveal what path they should take. Today, in this season of Advent, we shift a little. You know, last week we lit that pink candle as we thought about Mary and what it was like to be Mary in her situation. And then this tall one here that was just lighting for the first time, we shift our gaze this week from Mary into the eyes of Joseph, the guy who was walking beside the donkey, holding the reins, trying to keep Mary as comfortable as possible in such an uncomfortable situation. Joseph had a plan. It was a good plan. It was a faithful plan. He was betrothed to a woman from a wonderful family. Now, in Joseph's day, a betrothal was more than just, here's a ring, let's get married one day. A betrothal was a legally binding contract. The papers were already signed. They were already committed to one another legally. And to not be together anymore would mean a divorce. The couple may not have been sharing a home yet, but they were together. So, as they were, in fact, legally joined and not yet married, Joseph had been preparing. He had built a home. He had imagined their future. He had done everything right, the way that he was supposed to. He'd been committed to the plan. And Joseph was known to be a righteous man. Well, what did that mean? In ancient times, righteous wasn't saying this was a compassionate person or somebody who was nice. Righteous meant this was someone who upheld the laws, their religious laws, their church laws, someone who acted rightly. But then one night, his betrothed came to talk to him. We can kind of imagine Mary, nervous, but resolved, committed, and humble. And in the blink of an eye, in one conversation, when Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant, the law gave him options. A righteous man who lived by the law, he had the option of making a public announcement and telling everyone that Mary was pregnant. That way, he wouldn't be any more humiliated, disappointed than he already was. He could have been vindicated. But Joseph, he was seeking something more compassionate. And that's kind of a big deal, really, because the right action would have been to expose Mary. That would have been living by the law. But in this moment, even before God came to speak to Joseph, he wanted to pick a different path. He didn't want to be right. He wanted to be kind. He planned to change course, to dismiss her quietly and let her out of the contract. And in this decision, before God intervened, Joseph revealed the character of who he was. Compassion, more important than plans, and bigger than the laws. Well, before God spoke, before the angel appeared, Joseph had already decided that Mary should come to no harm. And he changed his plan out of mercy. And then God came to Joseph in a dream and asked him to change his plans yet again. This time, Joseph would not respond by doing something quiet or secret at all. Instead, God asked Joseph to publicly and boldly and faithfully take Mary's hand and make her righteous. Joseph's response to God's revelation reminds us that faith is not about clinging to our plans, because we have a habit of making plans. We really do. And we think they're right. and we think they're good and we're trying to follow a good path. But having faith is learning to recognize that compassion sometimes overrides our plans. For Joseph, God's plan could have cost him his reputation and his comfort and all of the future he had imagined. And still, Joseph said yes. So as we gaze into Joseph's eyes today, he teaches us something essential about our faith. When God changes our plans, he doesn't just make a change and then step away and leave us to figure it out on our own. This week, we hear God speak to Joseph, and we'll hear it again next week as God speaks to Joseph again and again. God didn't leave Joseph after he asked him to change his plans. He went with him every step of the way. Meeting him in the middle of the confusion, speaking into the uncertainty, God went step by step into the future that Joseph couldn't have possibly planned. So as we get into this week, this Christmas week, maybe faith looks a little less like having everything figured out and a little more like keeping our minds and hearts open. Open to interpretation, open to compassion, open to change, open to the quiet ways that God might be drawing near even when we find out that God's plan isn't anything like we expected it to be. So let Joseph's reaction to God remind us that God doesn't need our plans to be perfect. And you know what? When I wrote that he didn't need our plans to be perfect, I should have said God doesn't need our plans at all. The perfect plans are the ones that God has. So let us have faith that God's plans are perfect, even when they don't look right to us. God will come close when our hearts are willing to listen. And when we choose compassion and mercy and loosen our grip on being right, isn't it hard to loosen your grip on being right? Sometimes. We might just find out that God is already there guiding us into something unimaginably beautiful. Now, as we close our sermon today, I've changed our Advent, our Apostles' Creed, a little differently today. And I'm not going to ask you what you believe. We're going to think about it a little differently. This is an Advent affirmation, and this is how we'll close our sermon before we go into our prayer. So would you please read with me what we believe today? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, who saw the world's need and chose to walk among us. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary, entering our world as a child, wrapped in human flesh and love. In him, God is with us, near enough to be held, gentle enough to be trusted, strong enough to save. We believe that Jesus lived among us, shared our humanity, and walked the path of faithful love. Through his life, death, and resurrection, God's promise was fulfilled. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who stirs hope within us and prepares our hearts to receive Christ anew. We believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. As we wait in hope, joy, and love, we confess our faith in Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
Would you bow for a word of prayer with me, and we'll also pray over our offering. Wonderful and merciful God, we thank you that we get to look into Joseph's eyes and imagine the wonderful and loving person that he was, the compassionate human being who had plans of his own but let loose of them to listen to you. We thank you, Lord, that Joseph took Mary's hand, held her heart, and raised Jesus to be the carpenter,
yes,
who would grow up to love us so and give his life for us. Joseph was an ancient witness that offered his heart to you, his obedience and his reputation, even his future. He believed that you would provide for his needs and protect his path. So today, Lord, whatever we offer to you, We ask that you carry it, that you take the gifts that we bring into places where plans have fallen apart, a place where peace needs to take hold and where love is needed the most. Bless our offerings, Lord, and teach us to trust you with all that we are and all that we have. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.